Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host. His guest tonight will be Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, and his guest tonight will be senior defensive assistant Peter Ginta. And at 7:30, Bobby and I return for another half hour of Second Guess. He's here each and every Monday night, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, man, who that? Great to be here.
Well, into the season, sort of a merciful into it yesterday.
Well, we were kicking Tampa Bay's ass the first half.
We were.
We're up by 10 points. I thought, the Saints.
Half a game, it'd be okay.
Well, you know what would have been the best case scenario? Because Carolina took care of business. They beat Atlanta in double overtime. For us to beat Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay backs into the playoffs, and Carolina beats Atlanta. Because you know, because if we'd have beat Tampa Bay, all Atlanta had to do was beat Carolina, and they didn't do it.
Yep.
Hey, and you got to give Bryce credit. What Bryce Young has done.
You talk about maturing as a quarterback.
You got to give Bryce a lot of credit.
Now, you look at the first game we played against Little Bryce.
He was bad.
Mike, it's amazing how much he's transformed. I mean, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not the train coming at him. It's like hope. It's hope for the Panthers, what he's done.
And what Dave Canales has done with that team.
Yes.
They're not very talented, but, man, they play hard. It's entertaining. They're not boring by any stretch of the imagination.
To me, that's when it went downhill for Dennis Allen when we lost to Carolina.
I remember that game,
that second time, because we kicked their ass the first game. Man, when we lost them that second time, that's when I knew it wasn't good.
And then he didn't survive.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I didn't realize what a great season Bo Nix is having. Man, he's right there neck and neck with Jaden Daniels.
Now the only thing. Okay, I don't know if he's Jaden Daniels.
No, he can't run like Jaden Daniels.
But he's played really well.
And leading him really well.
The only thing that some fans might say, if you watch college football, you watch the pros. That's the same Bo Nix that was at Auburn. That don't even seem like the same cat. Now he's with the Oregon Ducks.
Looked like a legit game.
He was freaking unbelievable. But it just goes to show you coaching and how, they put you in position and how you handle adversity. But Bo Nix, the one thing I'm just saying, Sean Payton got a slowest roll that he said, no, Bo Nix is my guy. He's going to be the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. And he said, I'm telling you, he's the next Drew Brees. And I'm like, what? He didn't do anything yet. But all I know is it's kind of like, trust in Sean. What Bo Nix did this year for the Denver Broncos, because the Denver Broncos, you know how long that they've been in purgatory or just non-playoff appearances? 8 years. They go back. Peyton Manning was still playing.
They won the championship, and
they ain't done anything in 8 years. So Sean Payton got that Walmart money. and then now all of a sudden he turned around with Bo Nix. Look, I don't think they're going to win in Buffalo. You want to talk about a tough place to go. I mean, they got to go at Buffalo. Now, not the cold weather, but just the opponent. Denver at Buffalo. That would be, to me, the most monumental upset of all upsets if Denver would win at Buffalo. I mean, considering where...
Look who you're going up against.
Yeah, with Josh Allen. If it's not the Chiefs, who's sexy? The Ravens. They're finally going to do it. Or the Buffalo Bills. You're not looking at the Broncos or any other team. So, like, that would... Wouldn't you agree, out of all the matchups...
That would be shocking.
That would be, to me, the most shocking if the Broncos would go on the road and beat the Bills.
Yeah, because you look at some of the matchups in the NFC. You got Packers versus Eagles.
No, the Packers could upset them.
That could happen. But that's not a major upset.
Yeah.
The Commanders playing Tampa Bay.
That could flip a coin. That could go either way.
So, But man,
the Chargers going to Houston, they could beat the Texans. No, it's a bunch of games.
But for Denver to go to Buffalo and win,
no,
that's a major one.
It'd be like I can tell you what, Sean Payton would be. They got to get a video. If they would upset Buffalo in Buffalo, I guarantee you they got to get a video up in Buffalo's locker room up there. He'd be doing the stinky leg. he'd be up there going like crazy because one thinks that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but hey, you can't tell Sean that.
No, because Sean, one thing with him, he puts the carrot in front of himself.
Yeah.
I think he's always looking for that carrot that I'm going to get that.
Well, that's my
goal.
But out of doubt, it's like Dave Hilbert's always putting a carrot in front of me and Mike to keep us going. To keep us going.
You can eat that carrot.
Dave,
tell us what's happening here at the Slip. And how was New Year's Eve?
Oh, New Year's Eve was great, man. We celebrated that on that Saturday, a pre-New Year's Eve, which worked out really well for those that didn't want to come out on a Tuesday. And Tuesday was rocking in here. It was a great time, man. And still have live entertainment now every weekend. And this coming Friday, we have two really good bands, Cypress playing on Friday and the Cool Rays from New Orleans playing on Saturday. Two good bands that played downstairs on our Thursday night car rallies.
So are they playing this Thursday?
No. Playing this Friday. These two bands were good bands.
Outside?
They previously played on Thursday.
I was going to say.
They got promoted to inside. promoted inside.
The weather's nice in the spring.
You've got to move them in, Dave. You can't have them freezing outside.
No. It's all good. We're still giving away those iPads for the start of that for the first quarter. It's a Generation 9 iPad.
You know when it's cold, Dave, when you walk out of the car and that wind hits you.
Oh, man. Coming across.
It's like a wind tunnel when you park in this parking garage and that wind catch you. Then you realize exactly how cold it is.
Well, it ain't cold. It ain't cold like in Kansas City.
No.
Or look at the Midwest.
It's not that kind of cold.
Are we talking about like ice in the road or black ice? You got to stay home. Like, you know what? If we got freezing weather, what do we say about the freezing weather? Bring in your pets, bring in your plants, your tropical plants, and cover your pipes. And then it might last maybe 36, 48 hours. Then I got a son, Bo, in St. Louis. They telling him they can't go nowhere for a week. It's all of a sudden, you know, you go to grocery store.
It's like a hurricane.
They got to be stocked up for a whole week. Because they ain't going on the road because the ice is so bad.
Now, last year, it got about 15 degrees for 2 days. Some of y'all remember that. I was coming to the casino on Saturday at 9 o'clock, and there was people out on the beach picking up cold, stunned redfish off the beach.
Oh, they were so stunned.
Because you're not used to that type of instant, almost freeze water.
That sounds like Mobile Bay, the Jubilee.
Yeah.
You know, the Jubilee, when all the lack of oxygen, all the fish rise to the top and you just go picking.
They're catching it with a net.
And all of a sudden, you fill your freezer up full of fish.
We've had that.
Flounders and stuff. All the crabs coming up, flounders and all that. You hit the lottery. Yeah, it's called the Jubilee.
Dave, number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, also number one steakhouse.
Absolutely. Number one buffet is the number one steakhouse. We have a 24-hour palm court. There's also dynamite.
Where's Joey?
Joey's for another day.
He's on another suspension. Day. Hey, speaking of keeping warm, we're giving away our play-in get this month at the Players Club is these beautiful silver slipper fleece jackets. You earn 4,000 tier points in a month, and you get a jacket.
Okay. So you got a nice fleece jacket, man.
Yeah, man.
Bobby won't want one of those. I'm going to tell you before he tells you.
No, if you get one of those. Dave, you put that on me. I can promote.
Yeah, man.
Bingo. I told you.
Come on,
the line was hooked already, Dave.
Come on, Dave. I give you a free promotion.
Yeah, right here we go, man. Yeah.
Oh, he'll wear that until it'll fall off of him. That I will tell you. You will get free promotion.
Exactly.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Come on down.
Hope you have a great new year, and we'll be back with more Second Guess Who Dat right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Mike in Metairie. Mike, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm hearing a lot of coaches' names mentioned, but one name I haven't heard yet is Win One Soon. who is the most successful coach in Japan.
Well, we need to hire him. It doesn't matter if he's Asian, whatever. We would take anything. We would win one soon. We would take any cat. We would. How about I like the coach win a lot.
Win a lot.
Instead of win one soon, I like win a lot. I would hire him for sure.
Well, we'll see if we can make that happen. I mean, it's early on in the process, so maybe there's a chance that happens.
Yeah, well, listen, we don't care if you're black, white, green, yellow, whatever. We Who that nation, we multicultural, and all we want is a winner. We just die hard. We just want to win. Just win. It's like that's the greatest saying ever by Al Davis. Just win, baby. If you win, that conquers everything. Because are you winning or are you losing? Oh, we won ugly, but we lost pretty. I think I want to take the win ugly. You know, how did we win that game? I don't know how we won, but we won. Instead of, man, that was an entertaining game, but we lost. What? No, I don't want to be entertained. I want to win. I want to win, the bottom line.
Yeah, let me just, and my last question is, what do y'all both think of Mike McCarthy?
I like him. Okay, maybe I'm old school. I like a coach that has won a Super Bowl. And all I know is the consistency of Jerry Jones. I mean, he's the only owner that has that coaching show. I mean, to put up with Jerry Jones, that takes enough patience right there. Look, the Bears, though, the Bears are after him.
And you know why? Because Mike's expertise is at the quarterback spot.
Right, to develop Caleb. And he was in the NFC North and all that. So,
man, think about taking that job and look at three teams ahead of you.
Oh, no, that's a tough division.
I think long and hard about that job.
I'd rather be in the AFC South or the NFC South. When you look at, like, top to bottom, like the teams you'd be facing twice a year. Now, with that being said, a lot of owners like stability, and that's why I mentioned Jerry Jones. But, you know, the Cowgirl Nation, they spoiled. They're like, oh, so what? What are you going to do in the postseason? It's all about winning championships. But a lot of teams just want to have a winner. And then maybe take baby steps, then you win, and then you winning maybe a potential Super Bowl. All I know is that's hard to do. Dallas, three straight years, won 12 games. Now, it didn't happen this year. Just look how many coaches in the 21st century, three straight seasons, have won 12 games in a row. That's why I always say Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback ever.
I agree.
Peyton Manning won seven straight seasons, they won 12 games or more. Think about that.
Now, the postseason, that's where Brady trumped him.
Yeah.
That's where Brady got
exactly. That doesn't mean Peyton Manning's not a winner. I mean, he won a Super Bowl eventually. And Peyton Manning's way better than Eli. I mean, they're just keeping it real. Now, Eli gets a lot of credit because he's playing in New York in the Big Apple, and he beat Tom Brady. Come on.
Not once.
Twice. And he beat him twice. But you look at the regular. The Eli came to the Superdome. The Saints kicked their ass. Remember, they beat him by 30-some points. And I'm just telling you, the consistency of Peyton Manning in the regular season, I think he's the greatest quarterback ever in the history of the NFL in the regular season. I'm just talking about what he brought to the table day in and day out.
Man, that's hard to do. Long a period of time.
I led teams, and I won 12 games twice. Well, Peyton Manning did that seven times in a row. I'm just telling you. Him and the Manning cast and all that, that's post-football. They do an outstanding job at all that. But I keep it real. I am so honest, it's scary. And I'm telling you, Peyton Manning, to me, he's the greatest regular season quarterback ever. And Eli Manning, just by being in New York and beating Tom Brady twice to win a Super Bowl, he should be in the Hall of Fame based on that. Now, I don't know if you agree with that, but I'm telling you.
And I think he gets in this year.
That's the stroke. You know, you got stroke and you don't have stroke. That's the stroke right there where Peyton and Eli has.
It'll be the first brother combination.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
To get in.
And then, who knows, the grandson and Arch all of a sudden.
Little Arch.
Now we need Arch to play for Texas first and actually do something. But can you imagine? We might have a parade before he even plays. Arch Manning coming to the Saints. Oh, the promised land, the Messiah. The Messiah is coming to New Orleans. Archie Manning's grandson could be the quarterback of the Saints of the future. Now, Archie made a statement. He wants him to go to Dallas. Man, you go to the Cowgirls, we're going to boo his ass. I don't care if he's a Manning. If he's a Manning and you go play for the Dallas Cowgirls, we're booing you. I'm sorry.
And if you wait a few more years, Peyton's got a son that's right behind him.
Is he a quarterback?
He is a quarterback, and man, he can throw it.
Well, and listen.
He's just a teenager, but in a couple years, you're going to be hearing a lot about him.
Hey, listen, if you cheer for Texas, you might as well move to Texas. That's what I say.
Well, if you're a gambler,
And I got a brother that lives in Texas.
Exactly. I was going to say, what about Billy Bob?
He's at Houston. He's been there for over 20 years. But it's all. But Abar, you just jealous. You just hating. Maybe a little bit of that.
Thank you so much for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess and Joel Curry right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We got one of the best in the business, but salary cap-wise, can break down all these kind of contracts that are signed in the NFL, Joel Curry. You can read his stuff at cbssports.com. Joel, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Joel, kind of break, because we get it a lot. What is the salary implications if Derek Carr stays with the team in 2025, or if a new coach comes in and said, listen, you're just going to have to eat it, and we're going to move on. Tell us the implications money-wise if that would happen.
And, you know, compare like what Mike said, because Sean Payton said, hey, sorry, Russ.
You got to go.
We're going to eat that money. Yeah. So how, is that any comparison there or what, Joel?
Yeah, but you'd have to use a posting one designation to release Derek Carr, most likely, because you guys typically have a huge overage, roughly $65 million, depending upon where the cap comes in, which you have to shave off. This is an every-year occurrence. But he's got a $51.458 million cap hit right now, $40 million in cash, $10 million of a roster bonus that's already guaranteed, the fifth-day roster bonus. The $30 million base salary is guaranteed for injury. It becomes fully guaranteed third day of the 2025 league year. If you just cut him conventionally because you've restructured his contract before and just cut him outright so you can't split the cap hit into 2 years, the dead money, you're only going to save like $1.326 million and you'll have $50.312 million in dead money this year. Now, if you use a posting one designation, you'd cut them before the base salary becomes fully guaranteed. You'd have to carry the $30 million base salary until June. And then that $30 million comes off the books in June. You get the June 2nd, you get the $30 million in cap relief then. And you'd have the 20 and some change in dead money in 2026. You guys are 5-5 when he played. He can still be serviceable. Maybe ask him to take a pay cut, or it wouldn't surprise me if you just kick the can down the road again where you can create almost up to $31 million in cap room by doing what you always do, by kicking the can down the road. You'd have to add another voiding dummy year to tack it on to get the maximum effect. But there are no good options, really, with Derek Carr.
Well, and, Joe, you look at like Derek Carr, like you said, that's the games they won. Now, they went 5-5. They were 0-6, or 0-7, I should say, without him. And then he played only 10 games, but he threw for right under 2,200 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So I tell Saints fans, well, what's a better option in the future? So you might say, well, I don't know if we're going to win a championship with Derek Carr, but to me, he gives us a fighting chance versus a younger quarterback, not Jake Haener, but even Spencer Rattler, considering where we're at. But, Joe, the question I have for you is, like, you look like 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. I think we had 5. and that I think the Saints are behind the eight ball. Let's say your potential head coach, when you look at the position you are potentially at quarterback going forward, I would say, well, like New England, Patriots got a way better advantage, and you can elaborate on this, than the Saints, simply because I like May as a quarterback, the future, young, study, proven that, and then their salary cap situation compared to where the Saints are. Just compare, like, you know, like the teams that don't have a coach right now and their salary cap situation versus the Saints.
Yeah, well, New England's the best one because they've got a young quarterback that looks promising, and they're going to have more cap room than anybody else in the league. It's going to be over $100 million. He's on a cost-contained contract. The Bears have roughly, effectively, $60 million of cap space, so that's a ton of cap space. You have the first overall pick from this past year, just two to name. So, yeah, you guys always have these perpetual cap problems because you kick the can down the road like you're trying to extend your Super Bowl window, but you haven't been a playoff team since 2020. You're not going to do it, but I might be in favor of blowing the whole thing up like the Raiders did when they brought in Reggie McKenzie as the GM, and it was a two-year process, and hoping you're so bad next year, that means Carr's gone, that you're in a position to hopefully, if he comes out, get Arch Manning. I know that's not what you're going to do, but I would give serious consideration to doing something like that.
Bob's all for the Arch Manning thing. He's already on the bandwagon.
Well, the thing is, if we got Arch Manning, it'd be the second coming of Reggie Bush, but at the quarterback position. All I know is post-Katrina, when Reggie Bush came on board, now, I would give more credit to Sean Payton and Drew Brees, but just the hype with Reggie Bush was unfreaking believable.
Yeah, it was.
I remember.
He couldn't live up to that
hype.
No. And he was a really good player in this league.
He had to be a Captain America, Superman all in one. I mean, no, he was outstanding.
Here's the interesting thing about Reggie Bush. That was, what, 06? When Mario Williams won. When some people criticized the Texans for taking a pass rusher, which is a premium position. Reggie Bush would not go number two, given how running backs are treated today. He would not be the second pick in the draft today. He might go somewhere in the top 10, kind of like Bijan Robinson did. I know we've had backs go as high as 4 or 5, but he wouldn't go number two just because you wouldn't allocate those type of resources to a running back, no matter how great he is in college, under today's climate.
Cam Jordan has talked about he would like to return and play another season in the NFL. The question mark is, will it be here in New Orleans? If something would happen, and I doubt seriously it would be a trade, I think if they wanted to move on, I think they'd give Cam his release and let him pick the team he would want to go to. Kind of break down the salary cap implications for Cam Jordan.
Yeah, there aren't any good ones with him. The mistake was you gave him a contract extension, that lifetime contract, which you really don't do with older players. Pass rushers don't age that well when they start hitting their mid-30s. He's got a 20.061 cap number. If you release him outright, meaning no posting one designation, you've got two of those to use, then you're going to increase your cap by 3.924 million. So you're not going to do that. You'd have to use a posting one designation on him. Once again, I said you got two of them. So you'd have to carry that number until June 2nd, but you would pick up $11 million in cap space, I believe, because he's got a guarantee of 1.5 salary guarantee. Now, what I would offer, I'd do for him, is since he's now kind of a situational pass rusher, not an every down guy, $12.5 million for what he does is a lot of money. I'd see if he'd be receptive to taking a pay cut, maybe chop that in half and then build in some incentives. So then you're getting $6.25 million in cap relief this year. Don't do any restructuring or anything where you're like converting money into signing bonus. Just try to get a straight pay cut with not like earning incentives. That's what I would try to do with him.
Now, Joe, would that be like, because the Saints are an old team, compared to when you have a young up-and-coming talent, you look at Tampa Bay, and they've won now the NFC South four straight seasons. But like I look at, boy, he was one of the greatest LSU players. We respect him, even as an NFL pro right now amongst active players, has the most interceptions, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Then you look at DeMario Davis, a linebacker. Same like Cam Jordan. Would you have them, you just out and out release them? You know, we look at their salary, or do you try to, get, like you say, get them to take a pay cut and maybe have more of a smoother transition? And then besides just simply just cutting bait with them, then they're not part of the team at all next year.
Yeah, Jordan's more of a pay cut candidate than Mathieu, because you're talking $12.5 million versus $7.25 million. But, yeah, if he wants to stay in New Orleans, got the LSU tie, I'd see how receptive he is to a pay cut, the incentive route as well. But Jordan, that makes more sense than either one than Mathieu does. But, yeah, you're right. This is the aging team. DeMario Davis, 36. Cam Jordan, 36. Carr, 34. Yeah, it's not a young team. So you got to do something with these aging vets. It's a position you don't want to be in where you have huge cap numbers for very old players by NFL standards.
Well, Joe, what do you think, because it seems like the poster child of how you do things, that you want to win now, but then you also think in the future, but how all of a sudden you won now, okay, you rode that horse, now we have to change a little bit of strategy, that being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and pre-Tom Brady, and then what they accomplished, and then post-Tom Brady. Boy, it seems like they weathered that storm and then been like, oh, okay, well, you brought Tom Brady and all, how are we going to handle that? You got to give that organization a lot of credit how they handled their business.
Yeah, because that was a team which would rarely restructure a contract before Tom Brady, and they wouldn't give signing bonuses. It's called pay-as-you-go, where your cap and cap numbers are the same. If you don't restructure the contract, once the guaranteed money runs out, then you have no dead money when you release someone. That was their MO. You bring in a quarterback who's over 40 years old, you're in short-term win-now mode. They won, first year was there. So they started restructuring every contract known to man. I think they said, let's bring the band back together. And they took like a $35 million cap hit from the voiding dummy years when Brady was done. But they made a smooth transition by hitting on a quarterback. Baker Mayfield played on a one-year prove-it deal last year. It's now an affordable contract given what he's done. He had an excellent year this year, $100 million over 3 years, up to $115 million, if you include all the incentives. So they've done a remarkable job in making that transition, but it's easy to make a transition when you don't have a huge drop-off in quarterback from the greatest quarterback of all time to a former first overall pick in Baker Mayfield.
Joel, one of the things a lot of people aren't considering, but Ryan Ramczyk, who had signed a long-term deal and then, you know, his body broke down on him, and he's going to retire in the offseason. What is going to be the salary cap implications when Ramczyk makes it official that he's retiring?
Yeah, there's a way to do it where you can get some immediate cap relief. If you remember, I believe it was Drew Brees when he retired, he worked with the team and he dropped his base salary down to his league minimum, and they carried him on the roster until after June 1st so they could take the bonus proration, split the cap hit over 2 years. You can do that with Ramczyk. He's got an $18 million base salary. If he's amenable, knowing he's retiring, to dropping his base salary to his league minimum $1.255 million, you're going to pick up $16.745 million in cap relief immediately. You carry him on the roster until June 2nd, June 3rd, whatever. Then you're going to pick up another $1.255 million when that base salary comes off the books. But you're going to have dead money next year if you do it that way. So that's probably how you're going to handle Ramczyk, the Drew Brees approach to retirement.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, you always do a super job. I'm going to tell you like I tell Dr. David Elias when I get him on. I always tell Dave, man, you got to give me some good news. At least you gave us the straight news and exactly what everybody needs to hear, because this is something they're going to have to dig out of for the next couple years. It's not a one-year fix.
We got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, but you guys don't bite the bullet. You kick the can down the road each year, and I try to.
I know, we're trying to change. We're trying to change.
I try to trade Taysom Hill to Sean Payton and get him off the books that way.
Oh, Taysom Hill to Sean Payton. Oh, Sean Payton might take him for sure.
I'm sure Sean would do that. Ain't no question. Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always do a super job, but appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Joe.
All right, Joe Curry does a fantastic job breaking all this down, and he tells you the truth about things, and that's why I wanted him on, to give you the straight poop, and nothing sounds good. Basically, the options aren't good. You're going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, and not because Sean Payton and Drew Brees' days are over. We're not kicking no damn can down the road. It's not like, oh, we're right there.
You
got to
pay the credit card.
No, we ain't been in the playoffs 4 straight years. Hello? Come on. No, it's over. We got to shock the world. We got to do something different.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our number 2 of the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's get in Jimmy. Jimmy, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, y'all. Hey, look, happy King's Day. I'm actually headed to the UNO basketball game. They need the support, Bobby. They're giving away free king cake tonight at the UNO game at the Lakefront Arena, 6:30, to everybody who comes. So if anybody's hungry, come take a detour out to the arena. And look, tonight, 40 funny fellows. It's going to be cold. The St. Charles, it's the start of Carnival. But two things. I wanted to get your take on the FCS title game tonight, North Dakota State, I think, against Montana State. I think it starts at 6. And also, one of the callers yesterday, I didn't get on the point after with Bobby, but somebody brought up the name Todd Monken. I know he's the offensive coordinator with the Ravens. Is he an out? Have you heard anything about that, guys, as far as a possible Saints, a candidate and or interview?
I have not heard anything about Todd, and I wouldn't bet against those Dakota teams.
Yeah, well, the only thing is,
Bobby, he's more the Montana guy.
Yeah, but no, I'm University of Montana in Missoula, not Montana State in Bozeman. Yeah. So I'm more a Grizzly and then a Montana State Bobcat. But yeah. I'm telling you what, last year, Montana State, they have not beaten North Dakota State.
No, they haven't.
I think it might have been maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But Montana State, I don't think they've won a national championship since 1940 or something. And North Dakota State's won about 7 of them. But they said the team to beat, though, this year is Montana State and not necessarily North Dakota State. But I still call it 1AA. But you look at, like, the South Dakota Coyotes, the Dakota State Jackrabbits, North Dakota State, and Montana. No, that's their wheelhouse. That's where they get the fan support when you have kind of like a size stadium like Tulane. But it's packed.
Packed to the gills.
It's like 25,000, 30,000,
yep.
And it's packed. They're still playing the national championship in Frisco, Texas, and then they're going to be moving to Tennessee.
It's amazing to think of the dominance of North Dakota State.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Bob, you know, we don't talk a lot about it, and I think it should be talked about more, of how they have dominated at a lower level football.
They're the most dominant college football program in history. No, not Alabama and all that. Just look at the time frame, how many they've won championships. Mike, I'm telling you, North Dakota State, the Bison. Now, they play inside. They don't play out there in the snow. But North Dakota State.
They got dudes on that team in big dudes.
I think Montana State's going to beat them, though.
We'll see. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.